This is the April 20th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves four cases. Case number 685 for property ID 162-702-011. Case number 686 for property ID 162-701-000. Case number 687 for property ID 162-702-004. And case number 688 for property ID 162-721-000. All four of those properties are owned by AUK-Brookside LLC. Board members present at video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the appellant, but we have Carrie Dudley present for the assessor's office, and she is over video chat. So Carrie, go ahead and raise your hand, and Daniel will get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. I'm going to give you this spiel, even though the appellant's not here. We're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of these properties as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So, unless we have questions, I guess the appellant's not here, so we'll hear from you, and I have a couple of questions to ask. But go ahead and give me your spiel, and then I'll ask my questions afterward, because you may answer it in whatever you got to say.
Okay, so the subject property is located in Vancouver, Washington. The subject was built out between 1989 and 1993. It consists of 32 two-story apartment complexes that span over the four parcels that were listed. It also includes a leasing office, two pools, one recreation fitness center that includes one of the pools and a hot tub. The property has parking spaces and includes detached garage units. There is a total of 369 rentable living units, totaling approximately 318,647 square feet. Total acreage for all four of the parcels is 17.02 acres, and it is zoned R18 for 18 units per acre on the property. We are valuing the property on the income approach. It is fully built out and occupied. I want to direct you to the subject map, which is on, let's see, page 2 of my summary document that I submitted. The property is located right off of 112th Avenue and Northeast 49th Street in Vancouver. This is neighborhood 8001 for the assessor. It's the Vancouver Mall area. It has easy access to public transportation, shopping, and other services. I did include some pictures of the subject property. The subject property was inspected and reevaluated in 2021. I did include some closer in aerial views of the property so that you can see the layout, you can see the pool areas, and so there's one pool area kind of to the west and then another pool area to the northeast of those parcels. If we scroll down, I think the biggest difference between the appellant's documentation and my supporting documentation is the cap rate that we're using. And I did studies for the cap rates that are indicated on page 9. The graph here, which is the fourth graph on the page, shows a cap rate of 4.52%. For the Vancouver area for three-star building complexes. We are currently using a 4.5 for this property. It is one of the nicer complexes, you know, in this area. So the cap rate is the 4.5, which is supported with the cap rate study. And if we go down to page 10, this is breaking out our income approach for the property. We show that we're using the 4.5 cap rate. We have a 32% operating expense and a 5% vacancy and collection loss. Those are typical for this class of complex. On the appellant's actual income and operating expense documents, their numbers are a little bit different than ours. Again, we don't use actuals. We use, market standards for our valuations. So in 2022, the value of the property was $68 million. And then with the AA adjustment from basically, that's a held over value from 2021. With the AA adjustment, it brought the main property up to $79 million.
What's the AA adjustment?
Yeah, what does that mean? What's AA adjustment?
So AA stands for annual adjustment. Basically, Clark County revals our properties every 4 years, and I guess the information, that's when we really kind of dive in to make sure our rents are accurate, our cap rates are accurate. And then the 3 years that the property is not in a physical reval cycle, we apply the AA adjustments by just doing a market analysis on sales in the area. So this adjustment that was applied to all properties in this area. Sales were determining that, the increase between what our AV was and what the sales were needed to be adjusted upwards to meet market value.
Stop over for a second. Aren't you using current rates in here?
Every 4 years, we update all of our rates. We don't do that every year. So our county is broken into four cycles for our commercial properties.
I understand that, but how, this is not a current valuation then? This is one that was done 4 years ago?
The last time this property was physically revalued was in 2021. The rates
of rent on those were 4 years ago, or are they current rates?
They were from our reval in 2021.
So the rates per unit rental are not current rates?
Correct. We update all of those every 4 years. So when the property is in our physical reval cycle, that's when we go in and make sure that all of those rental rates are, what they need to be. So this property was revalued in 2021, which gave us the 2022 assessment value.
And where do I see the calculation of that AA adjustment to get from 68 to 79?
I don't actually have it in the documentation as far as what the AA calculation is. I believe it was right around, 15%?
So nowhere in here do you show adding that adjustment.
I mean, you just jumped from 68 to 79 in that graph, in that chart, with no documentation and no reason. I mean, that's a $10 million jump, $11 million almost.
Well, we bring all of our properties to market value every year, but we only physically reval one.
I understand that. So if you're saying this calculation is as of 4 years ago and then you add 15% for the market rate, but there's no documentation that shows me how that's derived and how you get there. It's just like one number's on one line and the next number is on the next line.
Well, the data isn't from 4 years ago. The data is from 2021.
So why would you make a market adjustment if you're using current data?
So the market value as of 2021 was a held value from the previous year. And to get that to market, we have to then use an AA adjustment. And we do this for all of our properties that are in a current reval cycle.
The same flat adjustment. There's no taken in consideration into the shape or the size or the age or any of that. It's just.
Oh, no, we do take it. So my market adjustment for multifamily is different than a market adjustment for commercial or industrial. They all do their own studies with their own sales types.
But I mean, within your multifamily, there's no differential between age of the property or amenities, or it's just 15% or whatever it is.
No, we do look at that. A lot of times age does come into play. So newer complexes wouldn't get as strong of an adjustment because they're, when they're brought into our system, they're pretty much at a market at that point. A lot of the older properties, you know, if they've been renovated or things like that and we haven't captured that, we might see that in, you know, in our study. But this isn't unusual. This is done on every property that is not in a physical reval cycle.
Okay.
Well, that may be true, but there's certainly no explanation and no documentation on it.
So the value that we have is the $79 million. So if we want to go down to our sales comparables, which is on page 11, I was able to find some good sales comparables to support the value that we have. So the total value for all four of the properties, the $79 million is on the property that includes the improvements. $81 million is including the three additional land parcels on it. So the total value of the complex with all the improvements and the four, the three other land parcels totals $81,434,571.
You can see more than what you, so are you asking for that rather than $79,158,30?
I believe the value was, hold on 1 second.
81,434, including all four parcels, right?
It's all
right.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. I understand.
So they all get individually assessed.
I understand.
The improvements are only on one of the parcels.
Okay.
Let's see here. Let me get back to my, so under the sales comparisons, I have on sales comparable one, which is account 16354200. This is located on 109th Avenue in Vancouver, just about five blocks from the subject property itself. Very comparable in unit count, in age, and in unit size. And unit mix. That property sold August of 2021 for $104 million. You can see our assessed value is $73 million on that one. And it looks like we've got a unit price per unit of about $268,000, where the subject's unit price is $220,000. So that is probably the comparable that I would give the heaviest weight on. It's in the date range that we're looking at, similar in age, similar in amenities, unit mix and number of units. And it's also in the same neighborhood, located just about five blocks east, southeast of the subject property. We have three other sales that happened in 2022, January of 2022. These were not used in an analysis for that neighborhood. They are outside of the neighborhood, but it does reflect similar property types, sizes, unit mixes, and unit counts. They are comparable neighborhoods to the subject property. And the unit price range is anywhere from $357 to $264 on those. And then the last two sales comparables are actually from later dates. The one is from 2020 and the other is from 2019, but they also occurred in the same neighborhood as the subject property and are located very close to the subject with similar amenities, unit counts, and unit mixes. And even though those are older sales, they still are supporting the unit square footage price of our property. So I put those in there just to let you know, we are seeing an increase in value over the years, you know, as far as the 2019 sale to the 2020 sale. And then if you look at the 2021 sale, you can see the increase of the market value with those 3 years. Let's see. So if we would go to the appellant's information, I just wanted to point out a couple of discrepancies on his supportive documentation that he sent. Let's see. On page 4 of his documentation, he is using a cap rate of 5.25, and he's using that cap rate to represent a risk to the investor due to inflation. The cap rates are a measurement of risk, so we wouldn't really want to pad those anymore. They are showing the market risk. That's what they are there for. And if you scroll down to his page 6, he actually gives his cap rate study. And he's highlighted the second row, 2022 average cap rate of 5%. We use 2021 data to come up with our 2022 assessed value, which they are appealing. And that cap rate is supported at 4.4% on his data, and we are using the 4.5%. If we were to use his income and actuals with the 4.5%, we are under value. If we were to pad this like he would like to do and use 5%, it comes out to almost exactly what we have the value on. I've also included an email from the tax advisor. After I had explained my data to him, he actually agreed with our value and was going to advise his client to withdraw the appeal. So he does agree with the value that we have on it, but the owner didn't want to actually withdraw. As far as that, that was pretty much all that I, you know, had to say for the property.
I don't have any more questions on that one. So did your explanation kind of cover all four of them, or do we need to go over the other three also?
No, the land value is separate.
Yeah, it's one economic unit, so all of them are being valued together.
I have a kind of a general question on that. When you're doing your studies and putting together all this stuff, do you put in there some kind of consideration at all for the crime level in the apartment complex for the neighborhood and for the neighborhood makeup in general, since I know there's a lot of homeless camping out there? They've tried to fix that up some with one of the Stay Safe Village things or something, but that would appear from the outside to maybe have a bit of a factor in there as to whether or not I'd want to live in those units or close.
Right, exactly. Part of our study analysis during our revaluation process is to send out rent surveys to multifamily units in our specific reval areas. So we sent out rent surveys to apartment complexes that were in this subject's area for our study purposes. And we use that data that we received back, the actuals that we received back from the apartment complexes, to determine the value that we're going to put as far as our unit rents for our apartment complex. So we're not using an actual, we're using a, just a typical, I guess, for the area. So in that area, based on what was sent back from our survey, they were able to get, you know, X amount of money for this type of apartment. We do take into consideration the older complexes versus the newer complexes when we're looking at those rents. Also, we're taking into consideration any kind of amenities that those apartment complex offer. You know, this apartment complex actually has more amenities than are typical in that area, with the two pools, the workout center, things like that. So their amount of rent that they would be able to collect would be a little bit more than somebody that's not offering those kind of amenities. So yes, all of that is taken into consideration when we are doing our value. So really what they're able to get for rent is reflective of anything that's happening in, you know, that particular area. If they're able to get $1,300, that's going to show the market is willing to pay $1,300 for that type of a unit, even though there might be, you know, some homeless issues happening nearby.
And in doing the rent studies and all, is it ever taken into account how many units in there may or may not be receiving subsidized rent? So, you know, I guess I'm just curious, are people actually paying it, or are we as a community giving rent subsidies to raise the rent, to raise the tax, to, you know, where does rent subsidy come into those?
So unless the apartment complex is taking a lower rent, they would tell us, you know, this is the amount of rent that we're able to collect. We don't know if half of that's being subsidized or if all of it's being subsidized or if none of it is. But that is what they are able to get market with, you know, with their rents. We take into consideration, and this isn't so much in this neighborhood, but there are other neighborhoods like in on the Fourth Plain kind of area, getting down closer to downtown. There's a lot of the Vancouver Housing Authority that owns, you know, a lot of complexes. And so we do take into consideration their rents, you know, are probably going to be lower because they are offering lower income type housing, you know, for their units.
Okay. Thank you.
I have no further questions.
No, I don't have any.
No, I don't have any either. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 20th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 774 for property ID 621-74270. The property is owned by Scott Folds. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but go ahead and raise your right hand to be sworn in. This will be for all seven cases today.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in these hearings will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yeah.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So go ahead and tell us about this first property.
And excuse me, I have a hard time hearing. Which property is it? What address or ID number? Sorry.
So it's for the first one we've got is the one under your name. It's for property 2903 Van Alman Ave.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay, so I guess I'd first start out by saying that the assessor, as I requested from the assessor, how he or she determined the value of the property, and I requested that information. And I have yet to receive any, call it, information that validated how he came up with his number, as I requested. And then in addition to that, the BOE's letter to myself, and I'm sure it was the assessor that had to do with all the cases for all my different properties, but specific for this one, 2903, it says the assessor must provide their case material to all parties no later than 21 business days prior to the hearing. Well, I never received it. I don't think you guys received it. So I did provide the information that I think is what represents my property, which I'll be going through today.
Okay, let me make one statement about that. The assessor has taken a position that the information he provides on the website under, you know, the comparison tab on the GIS system, if you pull that information up, that's representative of the values that he uses in determining the value of your property. And I realize it's not a what we'd like to see as a package saying it leads up to your value, but they use those properties and those sales to develop their model, which then in turn the model produces a value for your property based on the statistics of your property, like size, age, and so on.
Yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying as a property owner, the forms that I fill out in order to protest, otherwise the form should just go away as far as when I do an appeal process, it shouldn't even give me the option to check a box and say, I would like to see the information that the assessor uses to value my property. It should just go away if that's the case. And then the second thing is it should be clear on how, what parameters are you using? How do I validate your parameters? I've been through this a few times, as you guys probably are aware, and yep. What I, from what the assessor does, is he uses all kinds of information. It can be areas that are even outside of my area that he's trying to use his information, but I don't know all those different model numbers. So I hear what you're saying, but I also think when you get a letter and me as the, call it the person that has to defend what I am trying to say, I think my value of my property is, and I'm following the rules by what the BOE puts out with their their letter, and it's to both parties, and the letter is pretty clear that it doesn't say, it's not silent that the assessor doesn't have to provide anything. It doesn't say in the letter that, hey, the assessor uses this information, period, and he doesn't have to provide you anything. So, and I don't want to get into dispute there, but that's just my take as a property owner, is both parties need to do their part. And I don't think the assessor, in fact, I don't think the assessor did his part in proving the 385.
Scott, can I ask you, I have a question and a comment. How many beds and baths does your home have that you're appealing?
What's that?
How many bedrooms and bathrooms does your home have that you're appealing today?
3 and 1. Okay. 3 bedrooms, 1 bath.
I just have one comment on this attachment that you gave us for the comparables.
Okay.
You listed all the comparables, but you didn't list your own property on there. So then we had to go back and kind of dig around to find your statistics. So next year, if you're appealing, your comps are great, but put a line where you put subject property and then give the details on your house so we know what we're comparing.
I apologize.
Okay. That's the housekeeping thing. You can do that next year. That just makes it a little quicker and easier for
I apologize.
Okay.
One other thing, Scott, let me mention this, and then it applies to all of the properties. The assessor, if you look at his one of the ones that he gives a reply to in your package, but anyway, they do what they call current value or something like that. What is it called?
Oh, mean on the actual assessor?
Yeah, it's called the adjusted sale price. They adjust by a factor which is indicative of what they feel the market did for the whole year. Like if it went up for the whole year of 10%, then it would have so much a month from the date of the sale to the end of the year. And typically that doesn't make a huge difference. But in 2022, it does make a huge difference because the market in their study went up by 21% for 2021. From January 1 of 2021 to January 1 of 2022, their study indicates that the market increased by 21% for that whole year. So if you have a sale that occurred in February of 2021, then you would have to add an adjustment for that sale for the time that occurred from that period till January 1 of 22. And they would add that to the sale price of the house. So to that extent, the values that you use as just straight sales price is not going to be comparable to what they would consider that sale being as a result of that time period.
Okay, but I'm also disputing the base price, I guess I would think, also, is they're doing this model, and then they're saying, I guess, I don't know if the model has 20%. I don't know. I don't know those variables. But at the end of the day, if whatever the dollar amount, you're just going to say, okay, let's bump it 20%, and that's what the number is, I can't. He doesn't tell you that. He doesn't say anything like that, right? Where is that number for a property owner to see what the assessor and what the rules of the road are for that?
Right.
And I'm not trying to be argumentative or anything. I'm just trying to understand it because it's just against the property owner. It almost appears.
Yeah, it is just totally. Like, yeah, but this is all. what's the word?
They mention it on the top, on the bottom of their comparable sales grids, but they don't tell you what the number is. They just said that's the sale price equals the price at which the property sold, adjusted for the effects of price changes reflected in the market between the date of the sale and the assessment date of January 1, 2022. So, yeah, they tell you it's there, but they don't tell you what the number is. I agree.
Exactly. That's my point. And then, yep. You know, and if it's one of these deals that you can't, no matter what you do, I don't want to waste your guys' time, and I don't want to waste my time. I mean, I'm just being honest. I don't want to waste anybody's time. But if that's the rules of the road, and you have to, this is the rules of the road, and period, you're just not going to be able to win, then it doesn't even make sense to ever go to any of the meetings. They should just say, whatever the assessor puts out there, just pay it. And so, you know, and I've been through enough of these, and you guys have ruled sometimes in my favor, sometimes not, and that's fair. But I'm just saying, as a, call it a property owner in Vancouver, Washington, it just, this is messed up a bit. And then, you know, I think about it, I had 7 properties, just like you guys were talking early on, and I put all this information for 4 of them. Well, 3 of the properties, and this is what I don't understand as a property owner, 3 of the properties, the assessor provided their comparables. I think it was 3 or maybe it was 2. I don't remember. But he or she provided that. These properties, they provided nothing. So there's so much discontinuity between anything, you don't know which way is up or which way is down. Why didn't they provide comparables for all of them? And so how can you cherry pick? I'm going to go pick these, but I'm not going to pick those as an assessor. Or is it the rule, assessor doesn't even provide you comparables, period. They just tell you to go to their site and try to understand how they put it in their model, and that's what you have to base it on, owner. So that, there's just so many it doesn't, and this isn't, I'm not going against you guys. I'm just saying my perspective when I hear some of that stuff, I go, it doesn't make sense because, hey, I'm going to do it for these 2 or 3 properties, but I'm not going to do it for these properties. And I'm going, why?
It's all tilted to favor the assessor's office by law even. So you're up against it. All your points are valid, and we just try to explain to you. We just try to explain to you how it's working, but we can't tell you that anything's going to change. But the more you understand the more you understand how they work, then maybe it makes it easier for you next year.
10-4. I'm just venting, so I apologize.
Are we done with the first one?
I would like to at least, and I think that next year, if I continue to do it, next year I will put on my sheet Van Allman on there and the info there. I didn't even think about it. I was trying to give you the, call it the weighted average for the property comparables that I put in there. I put the bed and the bath, all that, the square footages, the year and all that jazz, right? Next year I'll put at the very bottom what it is. But at the end of the day, when I look at it, I provided the information the board ruled last year, okay, on the property. And then you go look at what the BOE ruled on this property, and I have done nothing to this property at all. It's the same property. And they ruled 202 last year was the assessed value that they thought. And now the, it doesn't even make 20% rule by far or whatever the rule is, but now the assessor, it appears to me, does not even look at what the BOE after a analysis, he doesn't even look at, or she doesn't, what the board ruled the previous year. And no, does it make sense?
No, they don't. They don't look at
it. Yeah, so there's no continuity there, and I'm going, okay, so. But at the end of the day, I gave 7 properties, varying properties, and it's all in my community, everything. There it isn't. Some properties in Camas, Washington, some up at wherever, right? It is within my neighborhood. So these are what things are selling for. So I just want to make sure that you guys understand that, which you probably did. But every one of these comparables are within my community, my neighborhood, my subdivision, call it, type of deal. And so when I do my math, and I did it on weighted average of square footage price over a course of all these, you can see the math that I came up with. Yes, it the price went up when I did my comparables from your guys' previous ruling last year by like $17,000. So again, what I'm, I guess I have provided my comparables, and I, unlike the assessor, provided any comparables for that neighborhood. So I think the board should rule based on my comparables. And that's kind of all I got to say for that one.
Okay, are we ready to move on to the next one?
That sounds good.
We close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 20th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We're reviewing late files. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for either the assessor or any appellants. The first one I have is Thomas and Sherry Bowling. It's tax parcel 986033391, and it's a request for reconvening. It's reason three. Reconvening reason three is the one about an arm's length transaction being 90% of the assessed value and before December 31st of the assess year. This says the property was purchased on November 23rd, 2022, and we were not provided the tax info. The property is being assessed greater than 90% of the purchase price. The purchase price was $535,000. The assessment is $721,037. The increase over the prior tax year is 148%.
Okay.
It meets the time periods and everything.
Yeah, so
I
it's November, so they're good there.
Okay.
The next is Gary and Susan Westbow. This is also a request for reconvening and tax parcel 110532286. It's reason number one. It says the taxpayer is requesting a late filing exception because they did not receive a notice of change of value for the assessment year 2022 prior to the filing deadline, and the value was changed as documented on the Clark County property tax statement. They had a change in mail delivery carriers at the time. The statements were mailed due to the retirement of a longtime carrier, and other mail was misdirected during that time also.
Okay.
Lost in the shuffle.
And then the last one is a late filing good cause request. This is from Amy Hoyt, and it's tax parcel 170405000. It says the notice of value was sent to the previous owner, and we did not know about the change until the quarter one 2023 tax statement was received. We purchased the property in May of 2022, and the notice went in June to the previous owner.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't get it.
Okay. That's all I've got for you, so we'll go ahead and have you close it.
Close it.
Okay.
This is a continuation of the April 20th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 775 for a property ID 213-808-100. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC, and the property address is 3424 South 3rd Way. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds over the phone for the appellant, and he's already been sworn in for the day.
So tell us about this property.
Okay. So I'll make this one brief. You won't get all the other commentary. The assessor, again, provided no information for basis of valuing this property as requested in my appeal. DOE's letter, again, stated they would each party had 21 days to provide their information. Assessor did not provide me with their comparables or how they came up with it within that time frame. Again, this property, I have not done any upgrades or any remodeling, anything to this property from the previous year. Last year, the BOE ruled in favor of my appeal for this property, which I attached to this appeal for the BOE's review. Last year it was at $382,343 is what the BOE ruled in. I have provided, I have provided five comparables, and these comparables are all within the same subdivision that the house resides in. So you can see, and this is just so everybody knows, this is the house that 3424, it's a five-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath house. So you can see on here that it has five bedrooms and four bedrooms, two-and-a-half bath. There's five comparables. They're all during 2021. As you can see, the sale dates for the various ones. Again, they're all within my subdivision. They're not outside of it. When you do the weighted average for all five of these units, you come up with an average of $157.98 a square foot. I apply it to my square footage, and I come up with a price of $428,600. And that's the value that I'm saying is that my property should be assessed at, and that's what I'm asking the board to go with, unlike the assessor provided no information other than the whatever it was, $478,000 assessment. So that's what I got to say about that. And I have. Yeah, go ahead.
No, sir, I don't have any questions on that one.
Got it.
Okay.
I don't have any questions on it.
All right, close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 20th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 776 for property 3024020. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC, and the address is 4018 Gibbons Street. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant, and he's already been sworn in for the day.
Okay, tell us about this property.
Okay, so again, assessor provided no information for the basis of valuing their property or this property. Again, I received no information as per what the BOE letter stated. The 12-1-22 letter stated that both parties are to provide their information 21 days prior to the hearing. I have attached the BOE's ruling to this appeal. The BOE ruled in Sugar Creek's favor last year, which you can refer to in the, that was at roughly $179,000 last year. And again, I have not done anything to this condo since the last year. Again, I have provided four comparables to the property. And this property is a two-bedroom, one-and-a-half bath is what it is. The Gibbons property, the 4018. And so I've provided, you can see four comparables, some two bedrooms, some three bedrooms. You can see the weighted average for these four comparables is $225 a square foot. So then again, I applied the square footage for this unit, and I come up with a assessed value at $198,994 or whatever, $198,944. So I'm asking, since the I provided these comparables, unlike any information how the assessor provided or came up with my number and for this property. And so I request the board use my comparable for the assessed value. And that's all I have for this one.
Okay, I have no questions.
I have no questions on that.
No questions. Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 20th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 777 for property ID 158-449-178. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC. And the property address is 5264 Northeast 121st Avenue, Unit E29. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant, and he has already been sworn in for the day.
Go ahead and tell us about this one.
I didn't provide any comparables, so the board can just rule as is what I provided.
Okay. This is one you're going to stipulate. Okay.
I guess I'm not sure what stipulation means.
Agreed. You're agreeing with the assessor's office, so you're going with their value.
Yeah, so is that how that works within the board, that if I don't provide anything beyond what the it just automatically that it rules in favor of the assessor or there any other information you guys use that maybe I didn't provide that you do analysis. I didn't know.
No, we can only use what you provide us.
Okay. No, thank you. That's what I thought, but I figured I'd ask. So, yes, I stipulated then, I guess.
Okay. I said, close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 20th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 778 for property ID 158-449-044. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC, and the property address is 5264 Northeast 121st Avenue, Unit H49. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant, and he has already been sworn in for the day.
Hey, tell us about this one. This was one that you want to, you didn't provide information, so you want to stipulate this one?
Yes, sir. I'll just stipulate this one.
Okay. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 20th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 779 for property ID 107-979-016. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC, and the property address is 5700 82nd Avenue, Unit A4. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant, and he's already been sworn in for the day.
Hey, tell us about this. This one you're going to stipulate?
Yes, sir. I'll stipulate again.
Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 20th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 780 for property ID 108-780-014. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC, and the property address is 6111 Northeast 34th Street. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant, and he has already been sworn in for the day.
Go ahead and tell us about this one.
Okay. So This one is assessor provided no information for the basis of how they evaluated my property. Again, they provided no information.
We're talking about 779 or 780?
780.
Okay. Good.
Is this six? This is 6111, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And four. So, and then I'll just state that the BOA's letter dated 12/1, it asked both parties, assessor and myself, to provide our additional evidence, and I provided. The assessor did not. Again, this property, I appealed it last year. I've attached for the BOE's review their ruling last year on this property, which they had valued at $203,000 last year. Now, this property was previously, it was in the process of, I was being assessed a, call it a repair or whatever you want to call it, from the HOA. It was in the process of this past year of being repaired based on that assessment. It was in the $45,000 range, I think it was, when I received a bill in late April for that. And so this property was still being repaired during that period of time. And then I got my bill for it. So I went to the, and if you look at your, the past year, you'll see the 2020 prices that comparables in your ruling. Well, then this year I got three comparables. And all these properties are within the same, call it HOA complex. I think there's 36 units total. And so these comparables that I'm using are within the same, call it complexes. There are six plexes, and I think there's six of them. So these are true comparables. They're not like what the assessor might do, is use various across the different parts of Vancouver, different, you know, comparables. So these are all within my community and complex. You can, so my unit is a three bedroom, and it's 2.5 back, and it's 1,513 square feet. So you can see I have two units in here that are 1,513, and one is 1,453. You can see the average prices in the numbers there at $171,46. I applied these three comparables to my unit. I come up with a value of $259,419. So I want to make it clear that, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, got it.
No, I apologize.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So the value is $259 using this average rate. Again, the assessor provided no information on how they came up with it. They didn't look at your past ruling that, A, this thing had repairs. I got the bill in 2022 of April. As it was that they finalized the repairs, so it's outside that 2020, I guess, 2 January date. So bottom line is this is, I think this is what it should be compared at, compared to what the assessor has in it. And I think my comparables prove that. And so I request that the board use my evaluation and not the assessor's evaluation, because they provided no information and they didn't take all things into account for this property.
Okay.
Okay, I don't have any questions on that one.
Nope, I don't have any questions on that. I'm good.
Okay, close that hearing.